All right, if you heard those magical chimes, those dulcet tones, you know that it must be 1930 UTC. And no, those tones are not being produced by my Sansula. Ooh, mystery, what? Who's this now? What's happening over here?
I heard a yow. Are you yowping at me? Who's a baby?
Yeah, Pippa has sort of arrived. Shown up out of nowhere. Are you going upstairs or are you going into the room with me? Okay, Cat's going upstairs. So apparently, we're not doing any kitty business right now, which is unusual, considering the time. It is, in fact, 1930 UTC. Or wait, have I actually wasted enough time that it's actually 1931 UTC? I don't know. Check your clock. Anyway, this is the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. As I sit down on my floor, who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe. There's two things you need to know about me. One, I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I have been for life. Well, actually, this is only a position that has existed for a little over 4 years, and nobody knows what the term is. You know, if it's a four-year term, clearly I've overextended my stay. However, if it's a five-year term, we're still good. Oh, the second thing you need to know about me is that I like to drink tea. And I drink a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's delicious. Mm. And it's yummy. There's going to be people who will tell you all about the health benefits, using words like antioxidants and things like this, but who gives a crap? I don't. I just want to drink it. I don't want to hear any science about it. I don't want to do math problems about tea. I don't really want to do math problems at all. I just want to drink tea. So that's what we do. We do a lot of tea drinking on the Dubious Goals Committee. Mm. All right, so last night at, when did that come on? It was after midnight, 1 a.m., I believe. One of my very favorite movies of all time was on, the film Gojira. Or Gojira. Which is, of course, the first Godzilla movie ever made. And it's the original Japanese version, not the stupid, cheesy Raymond Burr. Oh, we have to edit in some Perry Mason or else the Americans won't understand the movie. No. Don't get me wrong, I will watch the Perry Mason version every once in a while just to laugh at it. Perry Mason and the Case of the Giant Lizard. That's what I like to call the film. Its actual title is Godzilla. Don't remember the date exactly. 1956? Somewhere around there. So anyway, last night I was watching Gojira, the original Japanese version of the first Godzilla movie. And it's beautiful. It's fantastic. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Tub, no, Godzilla movies are cheesy. That's what they're known for. Cheese. It's a guy in a rubber suit. Ah, uh-huh. Oh no, my friend. Whereas, yes, some of the Godzilla movies in the 80s or in the 70s were a little bit cheesy, in the late 60s, pretty cheesy. And that's why we love them. But the first Godzilla movie, if you have never seen it, go out of your way to watch it. And don't get the Raymond Burr one. You do not need to watch Perry Mason and the Case of the Giant Lizard. You need to watch the original Japanese language Gojira with subtitles if you really need to have them. It's a great film. It's terrifying because, you know, it does not look like there's a guy in a rubber suit running around. It's some terrifying at night modern horror kind of stuff. Just some beautiful, and it's all black and white. And it's awesome. It's so great. So that's what I stayed up until 3 a.m. watching. And then when that got over, I was, what was I doing? Oh, I was just messing around, getting ready to go to bed. And I fell asleep probably by 3:30. Then I woke up an hour later at 4:30. And I was thinking, oh, it's the middle of the afternoon. I took a nap. I've been napping for too long. I got to get up. And I sort of shot up off the floor, only to realize that it was 4:45 a.m.
Oh, who's this behind me? Oh, those are some wimpy meows. You have to meow louder than that.
Sometimes my cat will meow without opening her mouth.
And I can hear it. Hi.
Because Pippa is doing her head-butting thing into my shoulder.
All right.
We all know what that means. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee are perfectly well aware that this signal from my cat is, in fact, the indication that she wishes to do some kitty business. And so we engage in the kitty commerce. Okay, the cat is on the kitty pit. Okay, I got a cat sitting here. So I woke up at, like 4:45, and I thought, oh, it's not the middle of the afternoon. I was not taking a nap. It's actually nighttime, and I can actually sleep. This is great. I'm happy. And our hero goes back to sleep. I woke up a couple of hours later thinking that I heard rain. And I went back to sleep. And so I finally woke up about a half an hour ago. Yeah, 45 minutes ago. I got up, started walking around. Hi, Pippa, hi. Pippa's doing the squinty eye. Oh, you gotta scratch my neck. Oh, it's so itchy. Hi. It's like a baby. So I finally got up, and like I said, I thought I heard rain, or I thought I heard cars driving by in the rain. That makes a very distinct sound that I can hear in my house. And very often I hear that sound before I actually notice any rain, which is strange, but... So I got up thinking, oh, all right. And, I walked upstairs and I noticed that, oh, it's kind of dark. It's overcast. There's not a lot of sun shining in the windows or something. It must be nice and cool today. Maybe it's raining. It's probably raining and I can go look for mushrooms. And I was getting really happy and I was getting excited. I was getting excited to go to mushroom hunting in a couple of different places I've been thinking about recently. And so what happens? I get upstairs, I'm in the kitchen, I'm making my waffles, by which I mean I'm putting waffles in the toaster. And I'm looking out the window, because the toaster's by the window, and there's no water on my deck, there's no water on the patio, it hasn't been raining, it is overcast. But then by the time I got done eating and started drinking some tea pretty seriously, I looked outside to check my thermometers. It's like 85 degrees out. It was 85 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was overcast. It's like, great. It looks nice and cool and fun outside, but no. It's actually hot. And now the sun has come back out. It was actually really windy yesterday, too. Last night it got really windy, and I thought, oh, cool, a storm is coming. I don't know if that storm ever arrived. Apparently not. So I was getting all excited to go outside and go look for dudes and mushrooms and do all kinds of, tobe stuff. But no. Apparently no tobe stuff is happening today. Oh, but wait. I shouldn't say that. There is a tobe thing happening. Oh, yeah. My cousin is coming into town. Tonight, apparently. And this plan has changed a lot. My cousin was supposed to be here a few days ago, but apparently, I don't know, they're not on any kind of tight schedule, I guess. This will be my cousin and his girlfriend. So they're showing up tonight, which means that we're going out to eat, and there has already been mention of Farmer Brown's. Farmer Brown's. One of my favorite restaurants. This is a steakhouse, and it's the good old-fashioned Nebraska Italian-style steakhouse, which recently has been sold, but the new owners are not changing a single thing, which is, you know, how to do business properly in this manner. So, I already know what I'm going to eat. I'm going to have the petite filet, medium well, baked potato with sour cream, and spaghetti, and I think I'm going to have iced tea, and it also comes with a salad and bread. What else? Sometimes soup. What day is it? Is today Tuesday or Wednesday? Isn't Tuesday like free soup day? Pippa, what day is this? Okay, now I have to look at my TV to find out what day it is. Yeah, okay, it's Tuesday. Tuesday might be free soup day. You know, they do prime rib at this place. You know, and other stuff, and they cut a lot of beef and stuff, and so they make vegetable beef soup out of beef, obviously. And on Tuesday, is it Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights? You get a cup of it free with your meal, which is ridiculous because you already get tons of food. Like I said, basically, you go there, you order a steak and what kind of potato you want, and then it comes with a whole bunch of other stuff. Bread, freshly baked bread that they bake there, a salad with their homemade salad dressing, which I just absolutely love. It's my favorite salad dressing on the planet. And then the steak and the potato, and then you have an option. One of your sides can either be vegetables, which is usually green beans, or spaghetti. And I always get the spaghetti. Now, technically, I like mostaccioli, because all the steakhouses I grew up going to, that was the pasta option. Because remember, these are Italian steakhouses. The pasta option at all the Coniglia-owned restaurants, the Coniglias are a family here in town that had a bunch of restaurants. Massive, massive, old-school-style restaurants, okay? So this doesn't even exist anymore, these types of restaurants. It's sad, but... So yeah, mostaccioli. Now, they don't have mostaccioli at Farmer Brown's. If it was, you know, Farmer Luigi's, it might be a different story. But being as it's Farmer Brown's, you would get spaghetti instead of mostaccioli, which I find to be slightly more difficult to eat because they don't provide you with a spoon. How the hell are you supposed to eat it? And so, blah, blah, blah. And that's why I always prefer mostaccioli when it comes to pasta. Anything that I can eat with a fork by stabbing it. Now, if you're going to eat pasta, I want to eat rotini or mostaccioli or ziti. Small noodles that are either tubes or shapes. Or, hey, do you know what radiatore are? Radiators? I love radiatore. It's so dumb. It's so awesome. Radiatore is the perfect pasta because it's all... How do I explain? When you hear foodies, when you hear gourmands or pasta chefs talk about pasta, you know, they always want the sauce to stick to the noodle. And that's sort of the downside to spaghetti, because spaghetti has a smooth texture. Sauce doesn't want to stick to it. And that's why we make pasta that are tubes. You know, if you have a tube, then the sauce can get in there and the sauce can stay with the noodle, right? And so you end up with ziti. And then even better, if you figure out, hey, if you make ridges on the pasta, sauce will stick to the outside. And that's how you get mostaccioli. It's a tube with ridges on the outside for maximum sauce holding. Well, think of like rotini. It's a spiral, right? It's like a drill bit. It's like an auger bit. You know why? Because that'll hold sauce. The best sauce holder ever, radiatore. They're little like balls that look like heat sinks. They are nothing but pasta fins. They're just these little shapes, these little balls that are just nothing but fins, like a heat sink. But instead of sinking heat, they are there for holding in sauce. And you know how much I like sauce on my pasta. Excuse me, sauce on my pasta. Radiatori, the greatest heat sink pasta ever. Plus, if you ever run out of heat sinks, you can just use Radiatori. Actually, I don't know if that's possible. I've never actually tried it. And I will probably be unlikely to do so. So I'm looking forward to going out to Farmer Brown's tonight, driving out to the town of Waterloo, one of my favorite towns in Nebraska, because it's called Waterloo, where Napoleon met his final defeat at the Chateau Hougomont. I can't do my French accent today because my sinuses are stuffed up. Hougomont. I still can't do it quite right. So anyway, yeah, we're driving out to Waterloo. Also the title of a ABBA song, which is essentially named as such thematically for Napoleon's defeat. Oh, Napoleon. I have been watching a little bit of Napoleonic Wars battle reports lately. Because that is something I do. I don't know why. Of course I know why. And regular listeners, or at least longtime listeners, already also know why. I'm kind of a fan of black powder warfare. But right now, I'm out of tea, so we gotta walk back upstairs. Do-do-do-do-do. And go into the kitchen and get some tea. So, yes. Going to the restaurant. I'm going to have a petite filet mignon and a baked potato with lots of sour cream, maybe a little butter, some salt and some pepper. Oh, maybe some chives. Get some tea in the cup here. And the yummy bread. The bread is so good there. The bread is delicious. And I can't even eat very much bread, but I always want to eat tons. And I finally have learned the trick that when I go to this restaurant, not to order soda, because soda just fills me up, makes me feel bloated. And drinking tea, which is flat, enables me to eat all my food without exploding. All right, got some more tea and back downstairs. Oh, yeah. I wonder who's on. Oh, look. It's Vincent Dindy, who was actually born Paul-Marie Théodore Vincent Dindy. My kind of guy. My kind of guy. And what are we even listening to that we're not really listening to? Tableau de Voyage, Opus 36, En Marche. Played by the Iceland Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Rúmon Gamba. Nice. Yes, I do actually listen to a little bit of classical music. Oh, that reminds me of something else. Last night, and didn't we mention this yesterday? Or the day before, weren't we talking about this? We never talk about country music on the Dubious Skulls Committee. And, you know, one of these days we might have to do that. Is that going to happen today? Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not a big fan of country music. And if anybody asks, do you like country music? If anybody asks me that directly, I will say, no, I hate it. And this is not entirely true, but it's accurate enough. Because when most people ask, do you like country music? They don't even know what they're asking you. And so, like all genres of music, yes, there is some that I like, there is some that I don't like. And There's plenty of country music I don't like. But there are some earlier genres, earlier versions of country music, and strange subgenres that I really do like, that I do enjoy from time to time. Not enough to actually go out and buy records or pay money to listen to it. But there's some good stuff out there, and I think I mentioned it the other day. If you know what the Bakersfield sound is, I don't want to say I'm a fan of it, but I'd prefer to listen to that than anything else. You know, when we think of country music, we think of music that's being produced and has been produced for a long time, traditionally in Nashville, Tennessee. And don't get me wrong, Nashville's a great music town. There's lots of good stuff there. But not all of it is for me. And back in the 50s, there was country music coming out of Bakersfield, California. And it was a little different, you know, because it was kind of country sounding, but it also had that California influence, so it was a little bit more rockin', but not, you know, like rock and roll, more like a little bit of surf action, because country music in Bakersfield, California was played on Telecasters, and these guys liked stuff like B-benders and stuff, and so you get this funny hybrid sound. It's guys playing guitars, stand up, wear them around your neck, Telecasters, but making them sound like steel guitars or lap guitars. And so some of this got kind of interesting, and I kind of like to hear that every once in a while, just because even though the musical style itself is very simple, it's very simplistic music, it's not difficult to play at all. What makes it good is the arrangement, because and the orchestration of the music. Because now you've got, you know, five or six instruments in this band, and you've got maybe four of those guys singing, or gals, or whatever. You got four people singing. So, you know, you got four-part harmony on top of, you know, six instruments, all taking instrumental breaks and stuff. And this, it's nice. That's good stuff. I would rather listen to well-arranged music than greatly written music. Well, does that make any sense? What am I trying to say here? The music itself can be simple and stupid as long as it's arranged well. That's what makes it good. You know, you can have the greatest, you know, song in the world, but if the arrangement is crap, then this song doesn't make any sense, right? So, you know, what's the point? And so every once in a while, and this actually happened like two weeks ago, I don't even remember how I got into it, but suddenly I was like, oh, no, I remember. I was thinking about the show Hee Haw again, because about a year ago or so, I watched a documentary about the old TV show Hee Haw. And somehow, you know, the Google YouTube algorithm knows that, oh, I watched that, and so I must like that stuff. And so, not like 2 weeks ago, YouTube presented to me, here's something you might like to watch. Here's a little 20-minute documentary about Buck Owens. And I was like, Buck Owens? Yeah, all right. Buck Owens being one of those Bakersfield, California country musician guys who eventually had his own TV show, and then shortly after that was also on Hee Haw. And I know everybody in America has seen Hee Haw at one point or time or another. And yes, it was kind of a dorky, stupid show, but I remember watching it from time to time just because I don't remember when it was on. I think it was on Sunday nights. And it was always on at the time at which my family was eating dinner. We always ate dinner very early, like 5 o'clock. And, you know, what's on at 5 o'clock? Back in the old days, there was only, you know, 3 freaking TV channels. It must have been on a little bit early. It must have been on at like 4:30. We did eat early. There was times we ate dinner at 4 o'clock. And when I say dinner, I mean supper, not lunch. But we would occasionally watch it. Just because there was nothing else on TV, and we would have that on during dinner. And it's music, and my parents like music, and I like music, and family likes music, and blah, blah, blah. And there's all those stupid, all those dumb skits and cheesy comedy. Actually, I'm kind of thinking maybe I should, you know, watch a little bit of Hee Haw. And if you read about how they produced that show, it's really interesting. But anyway. Yeah, if you want to see some pretty decent musicians, you just watch Hee Haw. Buck Owens and Roy Clark. And I love Roy Clark just because nowadays the references to him are so rare but so funny. Like in Squidbillies when Rusty summons Roy Clark from hell to do the banjo solo. Oh God, it's so funny. Yeah, and Jerry Reed. Oh man. When I was a kid, I just thought Jerry Reed was like one of the coolest guys ever because, first of all, he played a Telecaster and he was into, you know, having B benders on his strings and stuff like that. And he just could play that cool ass sound, man. Is he really country or is this guy a rock guy? You know, just Jerry Reed. And if you don't know who Jerry Reed is, I feel like slapping you because that's the other aspect of Jerry Reed that makes him so awesome. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Jerry Reed, I don't know who Jerry Reed is. He's a country musician. I don't listen to country music. Blah, blah, blah. All right, have you ever seen the movie Smokey and the Bandit? Of course you've seen the movie Smokey and the Bandit because that's a movie that everybody in the world has seen at least once, starring Burt Reynolds and who? That's right, Jerry Reed. Jerry Reed plays Snowman. He's the guy driving the truck full of beer with his dog. Wait, what's his dog's name again? With that basset hound? Is his name... It's not Clyde. Clyde is the name of the monkey of the orangutan in the Clint Eastwood trucker movie. What is the name of the dog in Smokey and the Bandit? Because he's always picking up, he says, come on, it's not Clyde, he's always picking up the dog, and says, oh, let's go, dog name, I feel terrible. And I know what you're thinking, oh, the dog's name is Bo. No, Bo is the bandit's name, Bo Darville, played by the man Burt Reynolds himself. What's the cat doing? Okay. Oh, what is the dog's name? That's driving me crazy. I would actually look it up right now, but I don't know. Do we really need to do that? I'm sitting here looking at Calm, waiting for somebody to type in the name of the dog. Smokey and the Bandit, starring Jerry Reed. Yeah, he's also a killer musician. And a truck driving star, but we can talk about that later. You have been listening to the Dubious What's the Name of the Dog Committee, a show that airs every day at 1930 UTC. My name's Tobe, I gotta go.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line.